All right, welcome to Comic Playground. We are the worst sound checkers of all time. Pre-show, we were horrific. We're hoping that it gets better during the show.
It won't.
The good news is that you don't have to listen to that garbage beforehand. As always, or every once in a while when he doesn't fall out of the bed, it's Corbin Ford. That's enough from you. Okay. All right, and then over to Zach.
What's up?
Yeah.
World.
The whole world he's
all
talking
of us. Well, they're all listening.
Hello, I'm Adonis.
Yes, of course. We got Ken.
True believers are listening.
Yeah. Donnie.
Hey there, ho there.
Yeah, go with hey there, ho there. Okay. And Donnie already killing it more than the last four episodes combined for him. And we are joined by a special guest from the Absolute Geek Podcast, known affectionately and only as Matt to me. Matt, do you have a last name?
Allward.
Allward. All right. Allward and onward. All right.
There you go.
So we really did struggle with the with the sound check. I'm noticing Corbin. Are you texting Donnie? Are you negotiating as well?
He's offering more money.
Let's have a little bit of focus. I'm just kidding. I'd rather you not be focused. I'd rather you be completely all over the place.
As we keep adding people, does anybody else feel like they've joined a gang and we're just continuing to initiate new people?
This is the comic book version of Wu-Tang.
I'm just glad I was in the beginning so I don't have to go through the initiation phase.
Well, this is the worst gang.
We're not dangerous.
We're not getting any fun, though. We're the opposite of dangerous. We're in trouble. We're constantly in trouble. All right, so let's start this out. We didn't have Ken with us last week. He was too busy doing other stuff.
Ken.
He's got a lot going on. But let's hear your wrap-up on Fan Fusion. People heard mine. Everybody distanced themselves from me in case they ever wanted to go back, which I'm fine with. So what were your thoughts, Ken?
Phoenix Fan Fusion, gosh, dude, this is a loss of words for me for the first time. It was a brand new feel this year to me. I kind of feel that they did a really good service for fans.
Okay.
I really think they did a good job for fans in a lot of ways. When it came to people that were at the convention, I kind of feel they should have more or less managed or organized the floor a little bit easier to understand.
Okay.
I kind of feel like it was a maze trying to find what you wanted to find.
I was constantly lost.
So for the fans, bad for the fusion.
Absolutely. It's like that.
That's why you're here. You can leave.
Exactly.
Yes.
Donnie and I are both done already.
Zach and I had late night texting last night, and he's always worried about his role, and I'm like, just a line of a week.
I am?
No, a little bit. You're always a little confused.
I have very little to offer.
So. Yeah. No, that was incredible. You're already starting off. You're in Donnie land now. All right. did you practice that laugh? All right. Yeah.
That's his real laugh.
Yeah, okay. Real. Oh, God. Okay, Ken, I'm sorry.
But I heard a lot of good, positive things from fans. Okay. I think that's what really kind of threw it forward is like, okay, at least they're getting something right. They're getting the fans excited about next year again.
Okay.
Because the past few years, there was always something about the fact of like, oh, man, something's gone wrong. How are we going to fix it? And it was great to not hear an announcement on the PA speaker this year saying like that, hey, guys, we're changing things up again next year, but we promise it'll be better. That's something you should never.
Like Jeff Goldblum canceling at the last minute or something?
The year before. I forgot my hat. I can't wear my hat. I didn't wear my hat. I can't take pictures. Yeah.
There was a lot of more or less complaints last year from people that were vendors on the floor in 2018. And 2019, I did hear like more or less that there wasn't any major complaints from vendors on the floor this year. It seemed a little bit slower on the floor this year. It was much easier to get around. I didn't really bump into anybody on purpose.
Yeah.
I feel which like was kind of nice.
You normally do it on purpose?
Yeah. No, not like at all. I'm like talking to everybody here, dude. Okay. It's like I like to talk around the circle. You know, it's kind of like keeps me from getting dizzy. If I do this enough times, I'm going in a circle.
Are you afraid of the dark?
Okay.
So. Yes, I am afraid of the dark. I have to, you know, cuddle with pillows, blankets, my
from
wife.
The Midnight
it helps.
Society.
Yes. Dude here. But it was a little bit of a different show this year when it came to positivity. And I do like the positivity side of it. I think scheduling-wise, like we talked about a couple times, they could have scheduled out things for more fan service.
Mm. How much like, of the extra positivity do you think is because of us being there?
Oh, dude, absolutely. 110% more.
I'll tell you, I totally agree with you on the layout. I needed a Sherpa to get around. I had no idea where I was.
Well, the signs on the floor did not match the signs up at the hanging from the roof. Yes. And so you never knew which row you were actually in.
Uh-huh. And did you notice anybody that you asked didn't know either?
Yeah.
Because that was kind of fascinating too. I said, hey, do you know where this is?
And they're kind of going, Frank, to one store you with me, Ken. And I got lost trying to find said store. And I kept going around the circles.
Yes, and it's
walking around in circles trying to give people money.
To give you directions.
Take my money.
Money was flying fast.
But I think that's where San Diego really succeeds, is they leave categories around their floor. If you want to go look at comics, all the comic vendors are in one area. If you're looking for artists, which is what Phoenix more or less did right this year, is all the artists were in the right same area. But if you were trying to find shopping for comics or shopping for toys or shopping for clothing, you would go all over the place. And maybe that's on purpose.
I kind of saw a toy area. Yes. There was a little bit of one, but I really didn't know what was where. When you went upstairs, it was a little easier to navigate around the Hall of Heroes.
The guests were easy to find.
Yes, I thought that was very much impressive. Easier. And but downstairs was very, very confusing. So to move forward here, tell me a little bit. You just mentioned, and I said save it for the show because I hadn't heard anything. You're nominated. You're Drawn to Comics is nominated for greatest comic shop in the universe. Is that
yes? Well, on this Earth at least. I don't know what's going on in
the known universe.
Earth 513.
Yes. Yeah. On Earth 2, it's kind of we're ranked in the bottom five.
Okay. What went wrong there? You're Ken.
Ken wasn't part of it. Yes.
Yeah, that's where I'm Kevin. And Kevin, I took the six out of my name here on this right Earth, and I guess it worked much better. Yes.
Okay.
And in that world, yes. It's I hate Alpha Flight.
And everybody is lizard people.
Exactly, dude. But it's a letter that is mailed out to comic shops the week before Free Comic Day, it seems like, which is when we always – it's our eighth time getting it. So I'm kind of going on the Susan Lucci record, going for that.
How many are nominated every year? Do you have any idea?
I know there's usually 15 finalists.
That's it?
Yes.
And you're a finalist. 15
If we send everything in, they do the announcements of the stores.
You think there's a lot of comic shops that just don't send stuff in, though?
I wouldn't be surprised. No, it's a lot of work.
Who is giving you the award?
Supposedly, it's a mystery nomination. Someone nominates you to the San Diego Comic Con board.
What's the board of trustees?
The Academy of Comic Book Stores, or what? I mean, what?
It's a Will Eisner spirit.
Usually,
it's the previous year's winner is a judge, a Diamond representative is a judge, and they usually have a guest judge that someone at the convention usually each year. They more or less do.
So can somebody the judging win on it 2 years in a row? Because
no, once you win, you're done.
You think if you won, you just keep nominating yourself and all right. So
so it's kind of nice to not win, I guess, in some ways, because it's better to probably be like a 10-time nominee than a 1-time winner.
Continuous publicity. That's why I keep nominating you.
Thank you, Zach. I knew it was somebody out there.
You're welcome.
I do know, but it is. It's kind of cool. It's a lot of work. They ask us to put together a video presentation. They ask us to put together more or less what we do in the community, what our signage looks like, what our store runs like, as many pictures as possible, what kind of knowledge we gather. And it's a lot of work to be fulfill the nomination on it. So we hope for the best each time we do it. And this year, let's bring back 2019 Drawn to Comics as the Eisner winner.
That'd be dope. I like that.
Thank you. Right.
Well, you already have my vote.
The what?
You already have my vote. I mean,
I did nominate you.
You
got my vote.
I don't even know what you just did.
That's like a Scout's Honor.
Scout's Honor, yeah. Nice.
I thought that's what it was.
Yes.
But I didn't know. I never know if you have something extra. I didn't think gang sign, but I just thought.
At least it was Corbin who said that.
He's always got. Yeah, thank goodness. It was. He's always got something that I think is that. Oh no, that's not what you're thinking. No, Frank, you're a 75-year-old man, Frank. You're completely wrong about what I'm talking about. All right, let's get into Swamp Thing a little bit because that's big. That seems to be the big news. Ken, you did not see it at all yet, right?
No, I just watched the trailers and it looks freaking awesome.
I saw it. Donnie, so lead us into that. Tell us a little bit about what you thought. You didn't?
Yeah, it was okay. That's a typical. I mean, it looks like it's going to get interesting when it was at the end. That's when you actually saw them reprise out of the swamp
spoiler.
And everything. Oh, please.
Doesn't matter.
I'm saving you. I'll save you 15 minutes of it. Just fast forward.
Wait, is only the fast the pilot? The is the pilot the only episode that's out? I thought
yes,
there was.
Yes, that's the only thing.
I thought a second Friday. Episode was out as well.
No, Friday. Okay. Friday.
Oh, so when I said earlier that I've only watched the pilot, you guys were like, yeah, okay.
I said that's exactly. I was like, you saw the only episode out.
Oh, you said that? I must have just continued talking and not listened. I apologize. So what were your thoughts, Corbin? Because I thought it was pretty good. There were some weird acting moments in it and stuff like that.
Yeah, you kind of get that clunkiness with the DC Universe shows. I actually enjoyed it. I think the tension that was built in throughout, and Swamp Thing is a comic of mystery, slight horror, I would say. Mm-hmm. And to have that kind of true to form in the TV show was good to me, or in this show. DC Universe been hit or miss with me. I did not like Titans at all. Thought it was a little too dark. Was a big fan of Doom Patrol and the way they went about it here. So it was only the first episode, and you're right, the big reveal wasn't until the end. But I did like them setting up certain elements, setting up certain characters, kind of building from there. And that was encouraging for me. The hype for it, I was definitely a lot more hyped before I watched it than I was when I did.
Oh, really?
But I think that really helped me temper my expectations.
See, I liked it. I didn't think it was incredible to start, but I liked it. But I don't know enough about the comic itself, like until recently, and I think it was here that I brought it up. I didn't even know that Swamp Thing was a comic book.
Wasn't it a movie or a TV show at some point, like in the 80s? I can't remember.
I'm pretty sure it was two movies, and then they had the TV show in the 90s.
I never watched the TV show, but I did watch the two movies. That's what got me onto Swamp Thing. And then I found out they were comic books later.
You're a Swamp Thing fan?
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah.
Super fan.
I watched the cartoon and I had the action figure.
He's got a back tattoo.
You know what? I think I had the action figure. It was greener.
He glowed in the dark and he squeezed his leg and his arms would move or something.
Yep. I didn't have that guy. I had like the 5.5-inch guy. Was that a full size, like 8-inch doll?
We're still talking about the action figure, right?
Yeah, the size of a Ninja Turtle back then.
No. I mean, then I'm a newbie because I didn't even know about Swamp Thing until like 5-6 years ago that I like ran into Alan Moore's run and then started reading that. But I had no idea about the TV shows until like 2 months ago or anything. So that's kind of cool.
That's really the only run that matters. Okay. So you're good.
So is Swamp Thing, so far the television show or the DC Universe show, is it following the comics at all?
No, it's kind of a mismatch of the Alan Moore run and kind of the way things are in the New 52 and the way things are going together. And like, I can't think of her name, the reporter in the show.
Abby.
No.
The Gotham lady?
Yeah. That's actually Swamp Thing's wife in the comic books. So
what's happening there is there's a romance that's going on. And then the guy goes into the swamp and gets entangled by the thing.
Yeah, in the comics, they were a husband and wife team working together. Yeah. And their project got sabotaged. And the wife got killed. And Alec Holland was his name. And I'm going to pass over to him. But he basically turned to Swamp Thing. And that's how that started. This definitely took a buck off the
I don't think they were married until Volume 2, though.
Now, pretty much the Swamp Thing is like Alec Holland died when he went into the sewer. Mm-hmm. And then whatever elements were in the water copied Alec Holland's likeness and rose up as more or less protector.
Well, yeah, they sabotaged his lab and his lab exploded. So he took off into the swamp, basically on fire and charred and died. And then Swamp Thing took him over and it thought that it was Alec Holland for the longest time. Instead of just being a shell, it thought it was actually
kind of like the Phoenix Force in a lot of ways.
Exactly. Yes.
See, I guess one of my things with the show is because of, I guess, with the DC Universe shows, I thought it was going to be more like Doom Patrol. Doom Patrol kind of took a little bit for them to form as a team and then go on a mission and do what they needed to do. So I was expecting, I thought that the whole Holland turning into Swamp Thing came a little bit too fast. I felt like that was a little bit too rushed. I felt that should have been a little bit more
development about Holland first.
You wanted to know Holland.
I wanted
better.
To know Holland a lot better, a lot more, and then he can turn into Swamp Thing the beginning half of episode 2.
How much of that do you think has to do with the fact that they cut down the episode run?
That's a lot of that.
Do you think episode 2 in that case would be called Mr. Holland's Opus?
Most likely.
And see, I do agree that that's kind of.
I am the Swamp Thing.
Excuse me, it's Doctor.
Doctor Swamp Thing.
Doctor.
And you probably enlighten me because I forgot why they cut the episodes. Exactly. Was it a fit with the schedule that DC's rolling out as far as their TV shows already?
They didn't say. It's speculated that the DC streaming service is coming to an end. They're reevaluating. Oof. They cut Swamp Thing, and then they said that they were reevaluating the status of the DC streaming universe. So I know they're removing a bunch of content from it, like the comic books, and they're removing a lot of their digital comics and a lot of stuff.
They
like
just
that.
Added
that
thousands of those. That's crazy.
Yeah, well, they're gonna. I think they're gonna cycle now.
Is okay. that because of the WB streaming thing, or
it might be? I'm not sure. Okay. They're kind of being hush hush about it.
Yeah. What is the WB streaming thing? I hadn't heard anything.
We were talking about it a little bit, but apparently WB is kind of trying to do a Disney Plus thing, basically.
Oh. But they don't have enough content, in my opinion, to do that successfully.
And so this isn't the WB; it's Warner Bros. It's just Warner Brothers.
Exactly. That's what
not the WB that
which doesn't exist. No.
Riverdale on Demand.
I had a show on that network.
And the WB.
Let me remember.
I remember that. Didn't you reference that? What was the show called?
Probably every episode so far.
He's very proud of that.
Hype, but it was your show's in trouble because the name of our show was Hype. And we called it Tripe because it was so bad.
Oh my God.
We're on the show. But it was like the first week, it was the whole night was labeled after us. Hype Night on the WB. Yep. 3 weeks later, it was the WB Sunday. And we knew we were done.
Okay. But that makes a lot of sense. I mean, just to stream a little bit to the DC streaming service, just because there was news that they're cycling back the movies again. And mind you, when they first came and rolled this out, they already said they're going to have a number of movies they're going to add, take away. It was Batman Day when they first initially opened up. So they had all the Batman movies. And then they stripped those away gradually over time. And they brought them back. And I know about January, February, I was actually one of the people on the board, the community board they have, and I'm like, okay, are you guys taking away more movies? Are you not? Can you let us know? Because
were you also like, can we have speed dating?
Oh my gosh.
On DC
I like to be a speaker.
I want
to
date Wonder Woman. The real one.
I like to speak for the people.
Do you guys have DMs?
Okay. All right, listen. You know what? I'm not
going to do this. Do you have WW DMs? Wonder Woman direct message?
Is that the same time you're bashing Ruby Rose for being a Batwoman?
Were you doing that on the community board?
For me?
Does anybody know why WB is so salty about keeping anything more than a year without having to transition? Is it Stockholm just constantly yelling at him about the fact this is not making any money?
That must be the case because I think they're just so impatient. Confused about being where they are status-wise when it comes to Marvel and things like that. Like the Marvel, how they're doing, what they're doing, and the Disney, what they're doing. I think they're just really confused and they're just trial and error right now.
Man, they've been chasing their tail since Christopher Reeve fell off the horse.
Pretty much.
Oh, man.
I'm sorry, dude.
Let me save this.
Too soon.
That was brutal. Soon. I'm sorry, man.
I'm sorry, dude. No, but that's it seems like DC hasn't had anything figured out for more than 2 years.
Dark Knight trilogy was
and Christopher
great.
Reeves was the last successful thing they had.
Dark Knight trilogy?
Dark Knight trilogy was good.
Was okay, great. Okay. Wait a second. Here's something that I wanted to make note of. Mm-hmm. Marvel seems to appeal to a very broad audience. Mm-hmm.
A broad audience.
If you will.
Wow. I think that's different.
Thanks for coining that.
Secret. You're welcome.
But DC seems very specific. The stuff that's coming out in DC Universe, I'm interested in because I'm interested in learning more about the comics and some of the stuff coming from the comics. Marvel doesn't seem to care that the stuff came from comics. It just happens to be from. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
DC's shows and movies, at least recently, seem like they're made for the people that already know DC material.
Yes.
Whereas,
which is why I have to have this podcast.
Yeah. And if they're going to do that, I think they just need to say this is who we are and embrace it rather than hoping to be Marvel.
It's much more niche.
Yeah, well, and that's fine.
Yeah,
DC's your comedy.
You can do that.
Yeah.
DC's characters are so much more iconic than Marvel's in so many ways too. I mean, every single one of them's got a logo you recognize. You see the Flash logo go by, oh, that's the Flash.
But do you think Marvel's turned the tide in let's say the last 10 years? I mean, largely on the strength of the cinematic universe. But
absolutely.
Iron Man was like a nobody.
Wait a second.
When they
you think people knew the Flash before Big Bang Theory? I don't think.
Yes.
I don't think
they had that 90s
TV show back in the 90s.
Yeah.
I know they did. I remember because he's the guy who played he was the Flash. I remember that, but I don't think people knew the Flash that much. It's interesting because I would make references to vibranium in after just Captain America.
Yes.
And people didn't know anything. People didn't know anything until Black Panther. And then it was, and then everybody was talking about vibranium all the time. But yeah, but it was this, but I.
Like even Shazam.
So you knew the Flash
Force.
Famous
Al McCoy uses Shazam on every 3-point shot. And that's a reference back to the Captain Marvel.
But I don't
Shazam
think people
character.
Know that. I don't think people know what some of that stuff
but
is.
Do you have to know the history of it to know the character? Because my thing is this: you had Flash, even let's say general kids or people growing up in the '90s. He was on the Superman animated TV show. He was on the Justice League show. Like he was a featured character. Yeah. It wasn't like he was in Super Friends. It wasn't like he was like a random guy like in Justice League Unlimited where they're pushing him out. Yeah. You know what I mean? He's fast. He's the Flash.
But I don't think it was his.
I think that was it. You just knew
Spider-Man.
He was a fast guy.
Oh, nowhere near. Of course,
yes. Right. But Spider-Man's you're saying iconic longer. Characters. That I'm just disagreeing with you on that, in that Batman, yes, 100%. Batman, Superman, probably the two biggest.
And
right?
What was like iconic? I mean, like branding. Do you mean like DC's like got the iconic brands of like everybody's got a logo,
right?
I mean,
that Batman, you recognize, Superman, one
yes,
and two.
Dude, like Superman, that Superman, S. Batman. You put that S anywhere in the world, people know that Superman.
It's not really
S.
an S though, right?
Well, whatever the Kryptonian symbol.
Kryptonian symbol for hope.
They call it family.
I love it. I love it when I know enough to question, but I don't know what it means.
But Marvel has that too. You have Captain America, Spider-Man. Like you have
like Captain America's got
iconic.
Captain America's got like five different logos.
But it's also, you know, that's, you might, to me, you knew who the Flash was. Mm-hmm. Like you just knew that he was a fast guy, but you would probably know nothing else about him.
I mean,
the general populace.
You're not going to know Barry Allen.
You know the story
from
behind
West.
Batman. You know the story behind Superman.
I think
you know
that's
the story
why,
behind Spider-Man.
Why Batman and Superman have stayed so successful is because it's always been Bruce Wayne and Clark Kent the whole way through. We've had like three different Flashes. We've had multiple Green Lanterns.
Right.
You got to kind of remember, not to cut you off, but those characters have been iconic in media for years. They've had TV shows, like, you know, you've had the Adam West Batman show, then you had
the George
Superman,
Superman
movies
show.
And shows, and then, you know, so those characters are always in the forefront more than some of the Marvel characters. I know that then Captain America had a show, and Thor had a show, and Spider-Man had a show, real live-action shows, but those DC characters have been more in the forefront on TV
for
mainstream media or mainstream people.
Even even now, we haven't had a Batman Superman movie in a number of years, but we have Krypton, we have Gotham just recently.
That's what frustrates me.
As far as on
me,
the small screen, and Pennyworth. Oh my God.
That's what I guess is frustrating. It's like, how can't DC figure this out after doing this since the 1940s?
Because they're trying to do different, in my opinion, they're trying to reinvent the wheel in certain aspects. Like with Gotham, that irked me. Like nobody wanted to hear about Gotham before Bruce Wayne, because Batman is like in
that's
the very
mythos. That's
exactly. Krypton with Superman, they're going back to what? Jarrell's grandpa or whatever.
Yes.
Like they're not even doing
it's Kal-El. Stories we don't want to know.
Exactly. So you keep doing this. Now they're bringing us Pennyworth coming out where we're worried about Alfred.
Wait, there's a Pennyworth?
Alfred, Batman's butler, has a TV series coming out.
But I'll also say, like, nobody wanted to see a Guardians of the Galaxy movie necessarily, and they turned that into box office gold.
Here's the difference. Here's the difference I would say. That was successful, and Marvel kept going with it. Whereas Batman got them. DC's had several opportunities where their shows have not. I mean, they even did those with Birds of Prey, where this type of spinoff has not worked, and yet they continue to try to beat it. Like, if it's not working, then stop. You know what I mean?
Well, I think DC's problem is they're trying to give away mainstream storylines to these heroes to secondary characters. Like, you look at Arrow.
Yes.
Arrow is very much... he's a Green Arrow, but it's a Batman grounded storyline. Look, his villains are Batman, mostly Michelle Batman villains. So you look at that, and you like they're doing Krypton, so they're doing Superman's father or grandfather. Mm-hmm. So they're doing Superman storylines without Superman.
Lobo.
Like you've
Doomsday.
Got Lobo, Doomsday, Zod. Like you've got all these characters without the mainstream hero. So they're trying to give these popular stories and backgrounds to other characters, and I think that's where they're messing up is. They're trying. People are getting confused. And
that's a disconnect.
What was so special about Smallville? Because that lasted forever, and
really
people
did.
Loved the show.
That was then. That was one of the biggest gripes with Smallville. Everyone wanted to see him in the blue and reds, and never happened.
You know what,
but they continued watching because of that. It's like watching Friends to see Ross and Rachel get together.
Or
you have to
we were talking
that.
About who's the boss before the show. That it's waiting to see Angela and Tony get together.
they're
waiting for the payoff.
I remember when I was watching Smallville, like. They would hint at it, and they would show it. They would just show these little snippets of him flying. I wanted to see him fly so much. There were so many times. I think, what was it, like season 4 where he woke up, where he was sleeping, and he was floating above the bed or something like that.
Yes.
And I was like, oh, my God, he's going to fly this season. Oh, my God, oh, my God. He didn't fly. And I was like, okay, we'll come back next season. And he – like, he literally didn't fly until the last episode, right?
Well, I mean, they did the same thing with Gotham, where they only revealed Batman at the very last episode. After, like, four shots throughout the entire episode of him running away, and you see the back of his cape. Yeah. Like, DC is saving these characters, but for what? I mean, we can transition right into that, to Robert Pattinson as Batman, but, like, before that, Superman was in flux, Batman was, speaking of what, The Flash and... oh my goodness, Cyborg. The actors for both of them, their contracts expire. Ezra Miller and I forgot what's his name, Parker. Anyway, their contracts expire at the end of this month or already just expired. And there's no plans there. So you keep putting these main characters in these storylines like my reference, but then you have the movies with the characters you're going to be using, but you're not doing anything with them.
Mm-hmm. But I guess all I'm saying is, like, from the Smallville perspective, is if you have good writing, mm-hmm. then people are going to watch regardless. Exactly. You're going to have to, yes. you're going to have a show that lasts 10 years, even if he never puts on the blue and red.
It's ironic that one of the more popular shows is iZombie that's worked for fans of it being something that is, it's not a superhero show, but people seem to love iZombie that don't read comics, that mm-hmm. do read comics. Mm-hmm. And it's just one of those shows that hit right with a fan base.
Is iZombie a DC property?
Yes. Yeah. It's a Vertigo property, DC.
By it's kind of like Lucifer, right?
It's kind of, it's more or less just it's a character that died, came back from the dead, and she eats brains to more or less keep from getting turned back into a complete dead zombie again.
Watching people,
but she's
the
investigator that investigates this other little vampire guys going around, more or less killing.
It's kind of like Blade.
She's a CI. She works in a morgue, and so she eats the brains, and then she gets visions of the people to help her.
Kind of like Chew.
Yeah,
and Ghost Whisperer.
Look at that. And Chew reference. Yeah.
By the way, on Smallville, producer Crazy Joe DiVola,
cousin of yours?
No, I wish. But no, the Seinfeld character Crazy Joe DiVola was based on Joe DiVola, who was one of the producers on that show and produced hype on the W.
Success after success.
Exactly. So where does that bring us with Swamp Thing? I mean, there's no logo for Swamp Thing, right? There's nothing.
Good point. That's why Swamp Thing has always been a B character for DC. Yeah.
Isn't DC trying to push those B characters? You have Stargirl coming out. Obviously,
Stargirl.
Swamp Thing.
Yeah. We don't know Stargirl. She's a part of.
We'll see. Yeah.
Is Stripes going to be part of that
star?
Too? Huh? Is Stripe going to be part of that too, I hope? Star and Stripes?
I think so.
That was Jeff Johns' first DC character he created.
Getting a movie now. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Everybody, the Moon Knight. Kyle from Absolute Geek is over there just giving signs. He's just so excited.
That's the Moon Knight logo.
Yes. Right? Is that... If it isn't, it's going to be. I'll check with Adonis. Well, he'll let me know.
But I like that they're doing that. I think Disney Plus would – I mean, they're obviously going with big names as far as their streaming service and their shows. But DC is pushing those lesser known, the exception of Titans. And even
I don't think – I think to somebody's point earlier, I can't remember who it was – but it was Zach. That's why I didn't want to give
it. If it was insightful.
Yes.
Of course.
That's why I didn't want to give any credit. But the Guardians of the Galaxy was completely a B character. For Swamp Thing, I mean, I'm interested. Because I was not as interested until the last, and I think Donnie said this earlier, as the what's happening at the end, crawling out of the swamp, I was finally really actually interested in Swamp Thing. Most of the show I was kind of like, and I don't know if it's because I didn't know enough from the comics and stuff like that, but most of the show I'm going, okay, I can get through this. It's decent. But then at the end I went, I want to see the next episode. And then I got distracted and was like, well, I can't watch the whole second episode. Apparently I was unable to watch it at all because it wasn't out yet. But I started
the one called Dr. Holland's Opus.
I did, yes, exactly.
Try it again.
I started to care. How many times?
Still funny.
Yeah, not as much.
I'm gonna do the Family Guy thing where it gets unfunny and then it gets funny again.
I call that Will Ferrell comedy. Will Ferrell comedy. It's like, get off the shed. He says it constantly over and over and over. Or Brian Regan does it too. Gonna say it. Stop being funny. Now it's gonna be funny again. So. Where were we? Who has you've seen Swamp Thing? You enjoyed it, or you were kind of meh?
It wasn't what I was expecting, and I guess we're gonna get more of that with Brightburn later.
At the end, were you excited? Yeah, you're getting let down a lot lately.
I know.
Were you excited at the end at least? Because I was. I was like, yeah, okay.
You know what's funny?
Now
it almost felt anticlimactic. Like, after like sitting through the first 25 minutes of it, I kind of saw, okay, it's gonna be revealed at the end. You know what I mean? So then. Yeah, I'm hooked. I'm still going to watch it regardless. I was kind of hooked by the trailers, to be honest with you. And then I saw the story was branching a little differently than
branching,
what I was thinking.
Literally.
Ah, I like that.
I'm almost anyway. Zach. But
I didn't want to laugh because I didn't want to.
But I'm going to do it, Donnie, and just go.
You didn't want to buy a gun.
Wow.
Augustine.
You went there. Augustine. anyway, I'm going to do it, Donnie, and go, man. Yeah. I'm still going to watch it, but I'm definitely not.
That's better than a Mad.
I'm not going to like it.
It's got potential.
Yeah. Yeah, I can still rewatch.
I'm excited to watch the second episode to see where it goes. I was happy it said violence and all that because I know that's what Swamp Thing is. So a lot of swearing too.
That still jars me when there's that many F bombs.
I mean, you saw Doom Patrol, right?
Yeah, but it was
that was like setting you up.
It was more comedic too, though. Fraser. I mean,
yeah, but he was you knew it was coming and it came often. I mean, especially Robot Man, you know, Mr. Nobody did a couple times.
Yeah, I mean, it was still a little jarring to me, but at the same time, it was comedy. I think I'm used to seeing that in comedy.
I get you.
This was more, basic, straight up drama. Mm. There were some funny, some funny lines in there, but
I know for me with Swamp Thing, I started with a 7. 7.5, and then I
out of 7
out of 10. Oh. and then I moved it down to 6.9 because I started watching it again.
It's not that drastic.
I just
6.9.
What?
I moved it down to 6.9 because
this is the worst scale.
In a couple minutes, make it 6.7.
If you start transitioning to fractions,
6.975. No, I moved it down there because I wasn't too disappointed, but at the same time, there were certain aspects of it that pushed me there. It was mainly girl from Abby.
What did
Abby.
It start at?
DC's okay with losing a tenth of a point on your scale.
Yeah, what did it start at?
It started 7.5.
All right, so 7.5. So at least you would have rounded up to 8, and the other one rounds down, right? So okay, 6.9. So 8 to 7 is basically it lost 1 point. All right,
it was what mainly took it away was Abby. Her acting. She reminded me of how she was acting on Teen Wolf. So that's what did it for me, and I was like, this is a little bit more serious. I need more. If in my perspective, everybody else was on a higher level acting level than her. And I felt like she was trying too much. It felt like when you see comedic movies about actors and actresses, and you see what they're doing and their acting level, and they're trying like extremely hard, and you're like, how are they famous? I get that this is a movie, but how is that acceptable? You know, and that's what it felt like to me. Kristen Bell and Sarah Marshall, forgetting Sarah Marshall, her acting prowess in that movie. That's what it felt like to me. But this is a real show. I did like Alec. Andy Bean, who played Alec Holland, and that's why I wanted to know more before they transformed him into Swamp Thing. I wanted to get attached to him more.
Maybe they'll do flashbacks.
Hopefully, and that's what I'm thinking. That's what I'm thinking. What's going to happen, especially with creating their relationship. They're going to have to. She's going to have to find out who he is.
And see, I was really hoping they wouldn't do a lot of that. I mean, not that that's not a bad way to move the plot and at least get us the backstory. But why not just develop it naturally, get us in the character, and then turn into it? You know, like now you're right. It's probably a foregone conclusion that's going to be the case. Mm-hmm. But we even saw some of that with Doom Patrol, where they kind of threw us in the story. And I like the way it was done. I just don't want to do it again. And then we do the backstory. Each person had like a future episode. This will be smaller cast in that sense. But we're going to have to go through the backstory to build back to the present when they could have just built up from the jump, built up that tension, kind of, explore the characters and all of that. And then let us to Swamp Thing. Maybe the last 6-7 episodes.
But that's where your draw is, though. People are tuning in to see the monster. They're tuning in to see Swamp Thing. So if you spend that entire 7, 8, 9 episodes drawing it out, building up to it, you're going to lose interest in it.
And I see that's a negative trade-off of that. But at the same time, then you have a fully developed show, in my opinion. The people who are tuning in for it are going to enjoy that payoff that much more because they had to wait and see the story to get there. Not just, here's the monster. And now let's tell you about him.
All right. Speaking of losing interest, I'm ready to move on to Dark Phoenix. Come on, I was just looking for a segue.
Nailed it.
That was Zach-like.
That was a zinger. I'm still recovering.
ZL, I call it Zach level. All right, so Dark Phoenix, we did talk a little bit about it a couple of weeks ago in Ken's origin story, I guess, with us. I don't know if that's what it really is. I was just looking for some type of term. So I don't remember where we're at. We're looking forward to Dark Phoenix.
Yeah, I think we were talking about, Ken had brought up a great idea of bringing up our favorite X-Men story since we kind of talked about Dark Phoenix and whether we're looking forward to it. I guess we could ask Matt. I know I still am very much excited for it. This week, I think Ken was expressing that. I heard a lot of mess.
That new trailer I saw at Phoenix Fan Fusion got me more excited again.
Yeah, they gave a little more clips.
Yes, and I said, too, okay, let's see a little bit more of the story developed. What her almost looking like she's killing Magneto. I go, what? Oh, yeah. She I heard really taking more death shots at Magneto here?
Than just one, yeah.
The more and clips just, I see, it looks better. Yeah.
And that's just something that no one ever thought they would see on film. It's like Magneto getting taken out.
Well, they can like do anything now because there's no future for the franchise.
Yeah, yes, exactly. It's like this is Endgame.
And that's even more exciting for X-Men. Yeah, exactly. And that's even more exciting because like you do have that future of like, okay, what's going to happen? And I know the directors did say that, okay, Mystique dying, we tease at the front because there could be more. You don't know that.
It's the kid
and
gloves are off in this last movie.
Exactly, which I think is good, especially with the story as big as this one now, whether they hold justice to, I mean, it's not like they have any other earlier movie counterparts to compare to, but whether they, you know, do justice to the story is one thing, but even if they don't, I'm still okay with this being the big cinematic finish to this 20-year run.
Yeah, the farewell. It's time to say goodbye.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to it, but I don't know that I'm rushing out to see it this weekend. It's a movie that I want to see, and I probably will to make sure I have something to talk about when we discuss it next Monday. Here. But you know, just being like me, just as a regular citizen, it would be, all right, I want to see this movie, but I don't need to rush.
I do feel like after seeing the other trailer, I am starting to see elements from the Dark Phoenix saga. Like when they're out in the forest and the battle between everybody taking their shot at Dark Phoenix to try to stop her before she just continues taking over everything was very off the John Byrne page. Mm-hmm. That was really exciting for me to see John Byrne, the artist that worked on the Dark Phoenix saga with Chris Claremont.
Okay.
And he was the penciler. Terry Austin was the inker. But Chris Claremont, John Byrne, Terry Austin, to me, that's gold there. Of the X-Men era. Jim Lee, good argument. Scott Williams, very, very good too. Mm-hmm. But Chris Claremont, John Byrne, and Terry Austin, Jim Shooter editing it. I mean, it was awesome.
You know what's funny? And this is totally random, but you're familiar with the Dark Phoenix storyline a little bit, Frank?
Yeah.
Okay.
From you guys.
Okay. Well, you have the story. If not, there is a very good, it's very good, low budget, but very true to the story. It's Uncanny X-Men web series. And this is done by this dude. Oh man, I'm forgetting his name now. But it's like 4 or 5 years old. Anyway, he's done like 4 seasons of like X-Men stories with like actual, you know, actors dressed up as the roles, more or less, and ripped straight from the page. And at the end of each episode, he shows like a scene of the actual page.
So
and
everything's then 100% on. Yeah, they have names, a dark. Like it's not the Dark Tucson or anything. No.
So they have the Dazzler.
They have
inside
Dazzler,
the bar.
It's really good. Like it's kind of low budget because obviously he's not paying them. But the makeup's pretty on point for a lot of it. They did Mojo.
What is this on?
It's on YouTube. I found it a couple years ago, and I realized it when I was thinking like for people getting introduced to it. Really low budget, but it's straight from the story. It's like 10 minutes an episode, and it's really, really good. And their Dark Phoenix story, that same scene you're referencing, they did. And the way that he made it work was amazing. So I definitely, just
who's
uncanny. Uncanny X-Men. I almost didn't want to share it because I'd forgotten his name, but I followed him for a while, and he's really good. I'll pull that up in a second.
You got to fire that over to me. I'll like,
It's really good. He's done 5 seasons. The 6th one is.
The effects look pretty good and stuff like that. I mean,
it's hit or miss for some of them. Like, for example, when they do the Sentinels, they're straight up action figures, sort of. I mean, more or less. There's like computer generated. It's
Star
really
Wars
good, but it's a dedicated following.
Exactly. Marvel Legends.
And then
right?
What they did is they actually flew him and some of the other producers out to see Logan and interview the cast of Logan, Fox, because they were impressed by how true to.
How did they get away with doing
that? They chose that over cease and desist.
But yeah, how did they get the licensing? Like, remember when.
It's fan?
It's a fan. It's just really, really true to the. Because
they're not
comics.
Making any money off
they're
of it.
They're not. Yeah. I mean, he wasn't
like
even
that Star
them.
Or that Star Trek thing that happened a while ago with that. Actually, I think they started making something with it now.
Like, what's but, the troopers, right?
Like the robot chickens.
Where they had the stormtroopers that escaped away from the. The Imperials, stuff like that. Just more as fan service where people tell the stories they want to see.
Bat in the Sun does a really good, like, they're, what they do and what they create. Like, because now they have, like, their own storyline with with Ryu turning into a Power Ranger. And it's crazy. Like, it's awesome. Like, it started off with these battles, and they listen to what the fans say. They ask them, hey, who do you think would win? And, like, kind of like our polls, but they make a battle between these two characters. You know, they had two outcomes with the Batman versus Darth Vader, and that one. I think that's the one where I first learned about them, and then I watched basically a whole bunch of stuff from them since then. Spider-Man versus was it Deadpool? Was it Spider-Man versus Deadpool? I forgot who Spider-Man was. I was definitely onto that, and he was. He was about to die, and then he got the symbiont, and that changed like the whole entire weight of the battle. And that was stuff like that is really cool. So I really want to know who this gentleman is you're talking about with these Uncanny X-Men.
Yeah, his name is Eric Green. And they started this in 2012.
Okay.
And so they have five seasons of it. So you can find the Dark Phoenix saga, you can find Mojoverse, you can find the Juggernaut story, and it's really from the all new, all different X-Men, but they added different characters in throughout. So you have all of it. They even did this like epic, and it's really fan like service cheesy Avengers shot where they kind of got everyone dressed up, and it was like a 15-minute episode of like the Avengers fighting Hydra agents and stuff. And that was just like a fun one. But for the most part, they're kind of ripped off of the actual comic books. And if you can just get past some of, you know, the BFX and even Marvel at that because of how low budget it is, it's really, really good. And so he's been doing that for a while. And he was just a fan who liked X-Men and, you know, had done some directing and stuff at school, had found some actors, some who were like smaller actors in bigger things that wanted to kind of give their time. And this is all out of Atlanta, Georgia.
Wow.
And so I'm just referencing that for people who aren't familiar with it and just want to like watch, let's say, a brief synopsis of the whole story in about 12 minutes. Okay. And I think it's a two-parter, so maybe 20, half an hour a minute. But like, it's really, really good.
That'll be a good way to drop in there.
I really have no interest in it, honestly. I mean, the X-Men movies are good movies, but they're terrible X-Men movies, in my opinion, personally. Okay. So I don't get behind them. I don't understand the reason to change her origin story. Jean Grey's origin story. It's kind of like a rinse and repeat or cookie cutter insert car accident that kills parents here. Yeah. When it, you know, it happens differently in the comics. It's a car accident that kills her friend, and they're like cyclically. I can't talk. Linked. And that's how she finds out about her powers and stuff like that. But it looks like they're going to take more. It's going to be more true to the comic than Last Stand was. Okay. But I was so hyped for Apocalypse.
Yeah.
Like I saw the trailer at San Diego Comic Con. I was so hyped for it on the way home, and then that movie completely let me down.
I'm with you on that one.
Yeah.
So I mean, I feel kind of like if they were going to do Dark Phoenix, they should have done it before Hugh Jackman left to give him another shot at the Wolverine Jean Grey aspect where. Like in the comics, she's begging him to kill her, and he can't do it. Mm-hmm. Instead of gutting her like he does in Last Stand.
Okay.
So I hope it's a little bit more comic book accurate, but I've kind of just.
Oh my god! Segue. Last Stand gave the writers for Game of Thrones what to do.
Expound.
When Wolverine did what he did to Jean Grey at the end. Jon Snow.
Okay. I was saying it for the Game of Thrones guy who didn't know what you're talking about.
See, it was the gutter thing, wasn't it?
Exactly. I was like, oh my god!
The first time anybody's ever been stabbed.
I'm sure Hugh Jackman didn't cry when he read the script, though.
He was like, oh my god!
I will always stand The Last Stand. That's still my favorite X movie. Knowing as flawed, it's like loving someone that you know is flawed, has all these problems, but like you just keep coming back. And I wouldn't know anything about that, but I think I do with The Last Stand.
That's why you love Val Kilmer.
He was the better Batman. Okay, I'm still going down with that.
Man,
by the way,
look,
Brightburn though is something I'd like to talk about. Did any of you guys see that?
Nope.
No.
You spent too much time talking about that web series.
Did you have a little bit that you wanted to? Get into it with the X-Men stories a little bit, or are you?
Oh, oops! Totally.
Yeah, did you guys want to talk favorite X-Men stories? Did you guys say or?
Yeah, well, like, you can just give us a couple of
like. I always thought Inferno was amazing.
Loved Inferno.
Yes, Inferno. I think is one of the most underappreciated, and when it comes to movies, never touched on it. I mean, especially with the whole thing of doing the Dark Phoenix over again.
Mm-hmm.
If you would have done the Madeline Pryor story,
yeah.
That would have been a great follow-up to
Madeline
X-Men
Pryor.
Last
Stand.
She's a clone of
Richard Pryor's sister.
Yeah. No,
well, you could
clone of Jean Grey.
Mr. Sinister had the big reveal of how important he was to the mutant universe and the whole Inferno. I mean, the Apocalypse connections in there. There was so much stuff that took place during Inferno. Magic getting her demon sword.
Mm-hmm. But it was almost too vast to make a movie without context. Like you need,
it'd have to be a TV
series.
Like
I need right now.
Yeah. You need exactly. You need so much of this backstory.
In Inferno, when Jean Grey died, the Phoenix Force left her body in the X-Men number 137.
Okay.
And the Phoenix Force circled the world trying to find what happened to the vessel when it was still found out to be buried in the bay.
And the Phoenix, when she's the Phoenix, she's the most powerful being.
Yeah, well, the Phoenix Force is like a force of nature.
And that combined with her already.
Yes, like Corbin.
Flattering.
But it needs a physical vessel.
No, I liked it.
It needs a physical vessel to control itself.
Okay.
And so Mr. Sinister created a clone of Jean Grey because he's trying to make the perfect mutant with Scott Summers and Jean Grey.
Oh, yeah.
And so he makes a clone of Jean Grey to try to seduce Scott Summers and to fall in love with her so they can make the perfect child.
And that's Nathan Summers?
Yes, and that turned out to be Nathan Summers. But Madeline Pryor, you didn't know that she was a clone of Jean Grey. It's just Scott, you thought, loved redheads as much as Wolverine did. You know what I mean, dude? But eventually Scott did fall in love with this Madeline Pryor, and they reveal that Madeline Pryor was actually the Goblin Queen, who actually the Phoenix Force absorbed into her, thinking it was Jean Grey itself. And it was a battle between the X-Men and Mr. Sinister's villains of X-Men. That was an intense battle where Jean Grey was back to life again. And at the end of the story, Jean Grey battled Madeline Pryor for the Phoenix Force rights. And it was just an epic battle to see Jean Grey versus herself in a way. And it was very, very well told.
While we're on the subject of Jean Grey, and we haven't done this for a while, and I think I'd like to do this right now. This seems like a good spot. We haven't done any polls lately, especially tied in with the podcast. And badass, I'm thinking badass female, just badass females in comic books and stuff. I think that would be a good one. We could throw a couple out here right now if anybody's got
Kitty Pryde.
I would say Rogue. Yeah.
Rogue.
Yeah, Rogue was both the villain and the hero at the same time.
Domino.
We got to pick two, right? Is that how we basically do a poll here?
Yeah,
oh, we can. Let's do multiple. Let's see. We can pick like four. So let's narrow it down. Let's see.
Rogue, Jean Grey, right?
Kitty Pryde. Wanda Maximoff. Wait, does it have to
Scarlet
be
Scarlet Witch?
Well, no, this can be any kind of badass Tomb Raider.
Tomb Raider.
Okay. You named all those three. Then you named Tomb Raider.
Just not even Tomb Raider. Just Angelina Jolie.
Now, do they have to be powered up or just badass? Like the Orphan is a pretty badass little character from the Batmanverse.
Oh yeah,
yeah. Like that, she used to be Batgirl for a while. Just amazing
huntress.
Yeah, speaks with her actions, not her words.
Daenerys Targaryen.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, I think that's probably a good. I mean, I'm thinking in
burned
terms of
the whole
of,
city.
Like 2 miles.
We don't want to be too specific with it because we'll lose a lot of people on that.
Kind of reminds me of the March Madness we did.
So if we took like a little
bracket thing we put together where we had all the characters against.
We could have the fans submit like entries and then we decide them in the next one, like for a poll. Like, because then anyone could throw anyone out there. It's an option.
I feel like we're doing a live action version of a Slack conversation right now.
I really do.
Okay.
That's okay. Really Toledo can cut it out. I think if we're doing a little bit too much of that, I think we just pick some and let people go for it. I think that's where we go for.
Cool.
So let's put in Daenerys Targaryen just because I always want Zach to have something that works.
Yay.
And we need three others.
Well
I think
Jean Grey.
we all kind of fell with Rogue as well.
Rogue.
And then Kitty Pryde.
There we go.
I don't even know who Kitty Pryde is.
She could run through walls. She was I don't know if you've ever seen
Ellen Page.
X-Men 3, The Last Stand. She was the one that the Juggernaut was after. She can just run through walls.
Oh, right. That's her.
Yeah.
Speaking of that, before we move on, another and they kind of reference this as far as a classic X-Men story I love that they use sort of for X-Men 2, Chris Claremont's God Loves, Man Kills.
Yes.
Really love that one. I think they could have gone explore that a little bit more. Kind of going into like what mutants are and are the abominations and exploring into that. And basically Magneto and Professor X's entire argument about where they stand between mutants and humans and how, where they can coexist or, you know, they're superior beings. And that whole conversation is really a great story. I highly recommend it. And like I said, it was kind of touched next to, but I mean, they can go into that so much deeper.
And one of the most underappreciated villains, Reverend Stryker.
Yes.
Oh my gosh.
Who they remade in the movie.
Dude, I thought they brutalized him in the movie.
It was ridiculous.
He was such a good empowering, the fact of starting the church of people that were just hunting down mutants. Still to this day,
and
that's
being
used.
There's so many parallels you could show as far as groupthink and things of that nature.
Let's get into we're getting a little bit running out of a little bit of time here, so I think let's get into the Brightburn thing, which you had a great transition earlier that I killed.
It's fine. I appreciate the
shout-out. I like that you did a great job. Thanks. And but so
you made him blush.
No, I
he's burning just a little brightly.
As you guys know from like other episodes, I was really excited for Brightburn. Hyped Superman. I was drawing a Red Sun, the Superman Red Sun comparisons and everything.
I bought that book from Ken.
Did you read it yet?
It's classic.
No, I didn't get to. I've been reading Batman.
He did read Batman.
I'm
though.
In the DC.
Which
I know
one?
All the logos.
Superman's
iconic.
Gotham by Gaslight. Yeah. Shoot. No, but
thanks for calling me.
Like, and this is just my opinion. I was not. It just disappointed me, and I think it disappointed me because I came with so many expectations about it being a superhero movie, a comic book-esque movie, knowing it wasn't really drawing off the main storylines, but that whole presence of, like, what if Superman was dark, or what if this had happened? That's not really what the movie's about, in my opinion. I think it's just straight-up horror, like, movie just with a superpower being. And, I mean, if I'm not going to grade the movie. I'm not a movie reviewer as far as, like, the unsettlingness and the tension and everything. It kind of had me. A lot of jump scares, definitely a lot. It didn't have a lot of gore scenes, but, like, the scenes of, like, people being offed were definitely graphic. But if you were going at it from, like, a comic book-esque kind of feel, I think when you watch the movie, your expectations will be definitely changed. Because for me, I walked away disappointed.
Is it like when you pick up something to drink and you think it's water and it turns out to be milk and you're like, what is this?
Or vodka.
Does that happen to you? I think it's like when you eat a chocolate chip cookie and it ends up being an oatmeal raisin.
Right.
That's even better.
Fiber. Johnny needs his fiber. Do you think the trailer was misleading?
Yes. Is that what you exactly? And I think that has, as a movie on its own, again, I'm so tied down to my expectations of what the movie was going to be that I can't even separate that from how good the movie actually was on its own merit as just a horror movie, because I came with a totally one-track mind. And then the end, it's referenced, and I'm not going to go into all of it, but like a dark Justice League, for lack of a better word. And
didn't they do a Justice League Dark? That was a
exactly. But that was more like magic, supernatural type deal. Where this is like, what if they were all Justice League, like Brightburn? And I did not like it.
So you're saying James Gunn had a misfire?
Yes, big time.
Ooh, yeah, nice pun. Thank you. That was really good.
Like, yes, it was in my head for the past 5 minutes.
I think it was at the same level.
He was holding it real tight. His face was getting ready. He was ready.
It wasn't my finest, but it was Ken's finest.
Yeah. But like, what did you think about
Matt,
it?
I'm right there with you. I think they relied too much on the fan or the movie watcher to know the Superman storyline.
Doesn't everybody know that, though? I feel like
they should. Yeah. But like, they don't explain it. Like, I mean, he crash lands and then all of a sudden his ship is like calling to him and it's just all this weird stuff. Like, stupid. The way he discovers he has powers is literally he's trying to start his lawnmower, chucks it across the yard, it tips upside down, and he's like, let me stick my finger in here and see what
That's
happens.
Literally how he
and then he's like, so it kids stops the blade. Smart. Right.
And it all comes at him at 12, right?
Yeah. And he's
and
like,
now I want to see it. You're selling.
Thank you for that. I need someone to back. It was ridiculous. It was bad. It was creepy. I mean, it was like.
Wasn't it supposed to be a horror movie?
Yeah, but when you looked at it, I mean, how many times have we referenced Dark Superman? Like, it wasn't that. It was just kid who had some superpowers with a weird ship that at a certain time spoke to him. Like, it just came out the blue. Like, Superman had his powers. And like, you know, when he was a kid in the old Superman movies, he was lifting the car. Remember that? This happened all at once.
And like
the ship said, you have power.
It was more like if Superman came to Earth, got powers, turned evil, and became a peeping Tom. Because that's essentially what it was. Is he flies in this girl's room and he's like peeping on her.
After he breaks her hand.
Yeah. Well, before he breaks her hand.
Oh, yeah, before that. You're right.
I think that's how you win a woman's heart.
Spoilers happened.
I think probably like you said, what skewed your view is that you had that expectation that it was going to be linked to Superman.
But I didn't bring it up myself. Like, it was referenced, not even just by the trailer, but by, like
how all can of you not go, make that
I
comparison?
You know what I mean? That's why I'm mad at. Not the fact that I thought and I was wrong, because I could do that for a bunch of movies, but the fact that it leads you to believe that. And when you all watch it, I'm excited to see what you say, because you're going to walk away going, no.
And I think that's we go in there with that expectation. This is like Superman, but evil. I think, me personally, I was looking at that and I was like, okay, I can't do that too much because this is not DC. That's what I had in my head. So I was like, okay, I got to go in there with an open mindset and see what universe they show me. And that's what I had in my head from the get-go. And you explaining what your viewpoint on it is solidifying that mindset. Like, I got to go in there just clean slate. And see what they show.
I feel
me.
More, maybe you'd agree or not, Corbin, but I almost feel like it was more of like an audition tape for James Gunn. Like, he got fired from Disney, and he's like, all right, well, I'll go show DC and Warner Brothers what I can do.
And what's funny
Brightburn was maybe almost like an audition tape for him. Like, I can handle the Justice League or Dark Justice League or whatever you want to do. And it just the payoff wasn't there.
Yeah, this was actually supposed to be released earlier.
Would have been a good audition tape.
Well, exactly. Yeah.
Well, no, this movie was supposed to release, I remember, I read last year or something. Like, it got pushed back because of all the controversy. But we would have seen it before that. So you're right, as far as him, like, doing his own thing. And mind you, he was behind that kind of funny Super. Mm-hmm. That superhero movie with what's the guy from The Office?
Rainn Wilson.
Where and that was a funny kind of superhero thing, but like we've seen those in that vein before. So, you know, vigilante, but like doing stupid stuff.
The one where him and Ellen Page?
Yes.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
So he did that, and that's actually referenced in Brightburn at the end, like that same character.
That's cool.
So it's kind of fun. But at the same time, this obviously had a more serious tone. I think most of us comic heads, at least myself, were like, okay, great. Like, obviously, it's not really a straight comic book you can draw from that, Red Sun being the close comparison, but let's see what they do. And
it didn't feel like a comic movie.
Exactly.
You're telling us.
But my thing is, why lead us to believe that when...
Yeah. He just knows it's super popular right now. It's an easy crowd to draw into.
Yeah.
Maybe. Do you think that's what his motivation was behind that?
Yeah.
I do, and I think that's scary, though. Because, I mean, not in scary in the sense of like, oh, woe to us comic guys. But in the sense that you believe, I mean, you lead us to, okay, superhero movies are the thing right now. So let's go into that. But disguise any kind of movie. This would be more supernatural to me. Supernatural horror. Let's disguise this as that. That I mean, if you're going to follow that trend, a lot of movies can go that way. And...
This reminds me of like Drew Barrymore's Firestarter.
Yeah.
What?
It was a little bit like, did you ever see Firestarter?
Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah, was that Stephen King based book, right?
I'm pretty sure.
Where Drew Barrymore all of a sudden like has his powers to start fire and she just goes devastating everything in sight. And was that a little bit like what Brightburn?
Yeah.
Was kind of an appreciation.
Kind of like what
to?
I said to you at Comic Con, though. You can achieve Brightburn, they did it with Chronicle. Like, you can give a dark superhero movie with that horror aspect without trying to reference a popular storyline or a well-known storyline. Like, exactly. I think that's why they chose that storyline, is they were trying to just be like, oh, everyone can connect with this because they know the Superman story. So we'll just put him in here. And what if Superman was evil? That's a good draw, you know? And
yeah.
Most people in the normal audience isn't going to be like, oh, well, you know, they've already done this and Red Sun, but.
That's true.
I hope they remake
Batman.
I'd love to see
But who would you cast?
Who would you cast?
Oh, wow.
That's a great segue. What were you going to say?
And then we'll get to the Robert Pattinson and Robert
Pattinson. What was his name? Captain...
Underpants.
No.
Marvel.
Marvel no. Pants.
Planet.
Don Cheadle, though,
he's
please.
He's our hero. The
Kangaroo.
Dude, the dude with the sewer, and he had the... The
Swamp Thing.
Toxic Avenger?
Toxic Avenger.
Toxie.
Which is pretty similar to Swamp Thing, right?
Yes. He just doesn't have a mop.
Except he was a janitor at high school.
Exactly.
Same, yeah.
Because wasn't Swamp Thing, like, didn't that have to do with the environment, kind of like with Captain Planet, about like, hey, we need to be more conscious about what we're doing and stuff, so.
But like, if you never watched Toxic Avenger, do yourself a favor and look up the trailer on YouTube, because it is just absurd.
No. Troma Films made good movies. They did. They were really gruesome. They did a good job on that. This is before we had CGI, so, you know.
Okay. Yeah. Take your word for it.
Yeah.
It was before Corbin was born.
Yeah.
Like, there was a time before CGI.
Oh, okay.
Watch the original Clash of the Titans.
Exactly. Oh, my gosh.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. I didn't know that the Godzilla used to, no, I'm not giving it.
All right, Robert Pattinson, what do you guys think?
No.
No. No, 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 no. Robert not Pattinson.
Like, I get that Batman actors are gonna be made to like be made fun of when they're cast, like, oh, they're horrible, look at this. But
that's exactly what
he's not gonna be Val Kilmer. That's
he's gonna
sure.
be great.
I'm absolutely for it.
He's not gonna be 100%
for it.
Explain why.
If you gotta get past the Twilight. Look past Twilight.
It's like Leonardo DiCaprio, right?
Watch like a movie he did called Good Time, or High Life, which is the one that just came out.
Oh.
Or
Harry Potter.
Cosmopolis, I think that's called. He's a fantastic and Waterfowl Elephants. He's a fantastic actor.
Oh yeah, he was great in Waterfowl Elephants.
He can do the
Batman?
Role. I think he'll kill it. He will absolutely
I think that's what's lacking for me personally, is that I haven't, after Twilight, I kind of just dropped off, and I knew he was a good actor.
You had been following really closely until Twilight, and then that came out, and you were like, I'm done with Robert Pattinson.
Actually, because I think Twilight was coming out in the movies, and then I read the books, and then I was like, okay, I'll see what's going on, and then I watched the movie, and I was like, what is this? And then... people were like, oh, you didn't know that he was in Harry Potter? And then I watched that again, and I saw that. I was like, oh, there he is. And then as the movies came out, I just kind of fell off of him, of what he was doing. And when they said, when the announcement that, like, oh, he's being considered for Batman, I was like, I'm not really feeling that. But then that's exactly what me and a lot of other people said about Heath Ledger, you know? And that's why I'm just like, I'm gonna see it. I'm gonna see what's going on, but I'm gonna keep my opinion just on low right now, and then just see what storyline there is. They're going with a lot of people were putting out information about what if he was Terry McGinnis and Michael Keaton mm-hmm. was Bruce Wayne again.
$1 billion idea.
That would be amazing.
$1 billion idea.
That would be awesome. Amazing.
Seriously.
That's one thing I can agree with DC on is they've done a pretty good job picking actors for the roles. I mean, I don't think I've seen any disappointments. It wasn't Ryan Reynolds' fault that Green Lantern script was so freaking horrible.
Mm-hmm. True.
Like everyone said, Gal Gadot from Fast and the Furious. What the hell are you talking about? Excuse my French there.
Amazing.
And Gal Gadot was the perfect Wonder Woman.
Yeah.
Henry Cavill wasn't a big name for Superman, but people liked him. That's even true. Ben Affleck as Batman too.
Oh my gosh.
People like I've heard people tell me like Ben Affleck as their favorite Batman. I'm going, are you serious?
But Val Kilmer's out there.
Yeah, but it's just like it's Michael Keaton was casted as Batman. True. Mr. Mom is Batman.
Do you think it's Batman specifically Beetlejuice. That really makes people feel passionate? I don't feel like there's any of that sort of backlash when you even iconic characters like Superman or Spider-Man. Nobody feels you don't have the same kind of backlash when they cast somebody like they do with Batman. I don't know what it is. Everybody feels like
dual
they own
identity.
Batman.
I mean, you get the guys, and I'm not going to name the actor's name because I forgot, but like that, there's one guy who's always thrown about as he should be a Batman because he would make a great Bruce Wayne.
John Hamm.
Perfect. But then like, thank you. But then like him as Batman, it's like seeing them as both those roles. So for some, they fit one aspect of it, but can they fit both? For me, my worry about Ben Affleck was that He did fit, in my opinion, the Batman, especially the Frank Miller Dark Knight Returns type. But I'm like, Bruce Wayne, mind you, there was no real difference between that and the comics.
Yeah, that was problems with Val Kilmer and George Clooney. I mean, they couldn't pull off both roles. Mm-hmm. And Michael Keaton was able to pull off both Bruce Wayne and Batman.
I think it comes down to your personal expectation, like what you personally think Batman should look like. Because for me, I think I like Ben Affleck. I think he killed it because I like that bigger build, older, grittier Frank Miller Dark Knight Batman. So I think, as far as Bruce Wayne and Batman go, he did it.
And plus, he pulled off three Batmans.
Yeah, and then you have people that prefer him a little bit leaner, like Christian Bale, and it's just I think it's just your internal preference for the character kind of drives your I don't like that casting or that casting's stupid or I love this or
But here's what I'm going to go back to again, like we were talking about with Smallville. If they write a good story, you're going to forget who the actual actor is as long as he's a good enough actor. Exactly. They've all been good enough actors.
That's what that was the thing about Batman. I think once I got introduced to Frank Miller, that's who I gravitated towards. Every time I thought about Batman, that's who I got. I gravitated towards as that perception of Batman. So once Ben Affleck came around, and I really enjoyed Christian Bale. Obviously, like everyone, loved Michael Keaton. The other ones, they're there.
We'll forget about those.
Exactly.
Wow.
But once they introduced Ben Affleck, I at first I was like, I don't know. But then I saw him in that picture that was floating around the internet forever, where he was standing next to the Batmobile and he was just there in the suit. I was like, okay, I'm all for this. I want to see everything they have with him. And that's, I think, like you said, it's who you're in, what your interpretation of who Batman is. That's who we gravitate towards, and that's why I guess we're more passionate when it comes to that character, Batman, Superman.
I think we saw that in the polls too, like people that what the Batman was at a certain age, who they people saw that what they saw when they were their first on-screen Batman seemed to be the Batman they ended up loving too.
That's true.
For you, a lot of you guys, it's the comic books, and then what personifies that in the movie.
Mm-hmm.
So for you, it's Adam West, right?
Oh, Catwoman. All right, so that's it for today. The poll is going to be best female badass. It'll be on Facebook. We'll put it on everything, Twitter, and we'll tally up all of that stuff next week. And then thank you very much, Matt.
Thanks for having me.
Absolute geek. You geeked out on us.
Yeah. Lived up to your name.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Absolutely.
200th episode coming up.
Say that again?
The 200th episode.
Oh, 200. Yeah. All right. Congratulations.
Nice. Thank you.
Yeah, fantastic. Kyle, thanks for... making signs, gang signs, our gang signs.
You guys are only supporting my argument from the beginning of this episode. Yeah,
I'm trying to tie it all together. That's what you do as the Batmobile driver.
Who was that?
I'm not even sure.
Which Batman?
I'm not sure. I don't know.
Let's give him to the close.
I've been trying. So anything, anybody else need to add?
Good. Give us five stars. Give us five stars.
Radar podcast, and you can find it streaming information about us at Comic Playground everywhere. And yeah, tell us what you think.
And I did and will be. I'm buying a bunch of stuff from the highly rated Drawn to Comics comic book store. And we're going to be giving away a bunch of stuff in the weeks to come. Yeah. So
a lightly used Batman Red Sun. Batman Red Sun. It's a new comic.
Batman. Everything's just slightly off.
It's a great way to end for me.
Oh, God. And?
No, don't say anything else. What? Oh, Corbin, ruin it.
No, you have to do your... I wait for this.
Keep your hands on the ground and keep reaching for the bars. I'm Casey Robin.
Batman Red Sun.